I know what you're thinking. What on earth is there a spacesuit doing on the front of your bulletin? Well, the short answer is because I think it's cool. This is not just any spacesuit. This is Neil Armstrong's spacesuit, the one he was wearing when he made his one giant leap on July 20th, 1969, when humanity first landed on the moon. It is one of Smithsonian Magazine's 101 objects that made America. And I'm going to share some quotes about the suit from that little magazine piece. This custom-made spacesuit, model A7L, serial number 056, cost an estimated $100,000 at the time, which is more than $670,000 today. Well, once helmet, gloves, and oxygen-supplying backpack were added, it was a wearable spacecraft. In this suit, Armstrong was protected from the moon's extremes of heat and cold, a range that goes from 240 degrees Fahrenheit in the sun to minus 280 degrees in the shadow. He was also protected from deadly solar ultraviolet radiation and even the potential hazard of micrometeorites hurtling through the void at 10 miles per second. The Apollo suits were blends of cutting-edge technology and old-world craftsmanship. Each suit was hand-built by seamstresses who had to be extraordinarily precise. Can you imagine? If there's one little hole, that's it. While most of the suit's materials existed long before the moon program, one was invented specifically for the job, a state-of-the-art fabric called beta cloth, made of Teflon-coated glass microfibers used for the suit's outermost layer. The toughest challenge was to contain the pressure necessary for life while maintaining enough flexibility to afford freedom of motion. The company that made that suit, by the way, was a bra manufacturer, and they developed special joints and used steel cables to protect and absorb and maintain pressure while out in the vacuum of space. For Armstrong, all the work put into this suit meant that he could run around the moon. Isn't that cool? Running around the moon without, quote, having to think about the fact that a few layers of material separated him from the vacuum of space. Later, Armstrong, in a thank you letter for his wearable spacecraft, said its true beauty was that it worked. Wouldn't it be cool to wear a suit like that out in space? Even if you are not a geek, that's cool. You got to admit, right? It's cool, and it can also teach us something about healthy faith. Like the suit, I believe a healthy faith blends cutting-edge theology and old-world abiding wisdom. A healthy faith contains the pressure necessary to support life while it maintains enough flexibility to afford freedom of motion. I believe a healthy faith is a wearable spacecraft of the Spirit that protects us and also lets us run around the moon. The beauty of a healthy faith is that it works. For all. There are a couple of things, if you take a closer look at the picture on the cover of your bulletin, there are a couple of things you can notice about the spacesuit. One is that it has a name on it. You can barely read it there in the center of the chest. It has a name on it. The suit is Armstrong's suit. And two, on the shoulder it has a what? A flag. The flag tells you that the one wearing it is an American, and that the Enterprise is American. When we discover a healthy faith, I believe it also has our own name on it, individually as a church, as a tradition, as a faith. And it also has symbols, like this cross, like a potluck casserole dish, and like a rainbow sign. These symbols tell you something about the faith inside. This is Signs and Welcomes Sunday, a week when we reflect together on our faith, particularly as it relates to issues of sexuality and inclusion. We ask what it means that we have placed a rainbow symbol on our church sign out front. What does it say about the faith that one finds here in our gathering together? I think that the answer to this question, like Armstrong's suit, is multi-layered. And I'll tell you as soon as I find it here. Sorry. The answer to this question is multi-layered, and like all good symbols, it is rich in meaning and looks different depending upon the angle from which it is viewed. Depending on your perspective, the symbol of the rainbow can mean different, overlapping things. What we are inviting you to do in your faith this morning and in the days to come is to try on this suit with this symbol and see if it fits. The rainbow has a symbol, has a particular history in the LGBTQ community. That is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and questioning or queer community. I'll just be saying LGBT from here on out. If you have questions about this terminology, we can talk about this later in the discussion time after the service without judgment. The symbol of the rainbow flag has been used to communicate gay pride in who they are after a long history of being shamed by society. The rainbow values diversity, and when it is posted, whenever you see it, it signals welcome. I am speaking on behalf of our congregation's leadership, which, by official vote, decided to add it to our church sign. We decided to lead in this instance. When I say that on a deeper level, when we post it here, the rainbow symbol says exactly what Paul says in our passage from Corinthians. To a church being torn apart by conflict in so many ways, the Apostle Paul writes that there are different parts of the body, but there is only one body. And he says it repeatedly. All the different parts are not only welcome, but they are needed. That's what the rainbow sign means for us. All are welcome. All the different parts of the body are needed. If you are part of the LGBT community or any group or part of the community who, because of who they are, have been shoved sometimes violently to the margins of society, you need to know, and you, I hope, will find because of the sign that you are welcome. No, I mean it. You are welcome. You are welcome here as God created you. I have to say that we believe you are sinners, but not because you are LGBT, but because you are just like the rest of us. You are just like the rest of us. We are all sinners. There is a wide range of people here in this community honestly struggling, just like you, for wholeness, to find a living relationship with a living God. When you come in these doors, there are no doctrinal requirements. just an openness of spirit. We believe that you will find God here. And if you want to be truly welcoming, some things need to be said up front. And in that spirit, I will say to the LGBT community, we are sorry for many Christians who have hurt and abused you in ways that the rest of us cannot understand. We are sorry for burying our head in the sand, for looking away, for aiding and abetting hatred and prejudice. We are sorry for letting our fear of difference rule our lives and faith. We believe that Jesus, as one who was persecuted unjustly, we believe that Jesus understands. We welcome you, or try to, as Jesus does. We want to love you as best we can in the way that Jesus loves you. We hope you understand from the rainbow that you are not only welcome here, but we need you. We need you. You are an essential color of the rainbow of colors here. We can't have the full spectrum of colors without you. How many of you learned when you were in science class and you learned the colors of the full spectrum of light of the rainbow? You learned Roy G. Biv, right? I mean, you learn that, Roy G. Biv. But Roy G. Biv just wouldn't be the same with Roy G. Biv. We need all the colors. Or you traditional folks out there, you who perhaps feel that the church and world is changing, that this congregation is changing, perhaps even departing from what you think is true, you are welcome. From one branded as the liberal pastor, I mean it. You are welcome. You are welcome as God created you, with your experience, your perspective, and your faith. We believe that you are also sinners, but not because you don't agree with what you think the sign means. Not because you might not agree with the pastor or with many here, but because you are just like the rest of us. We are all sinners. Being sinners means that we are broken, incomplete, hurting in many ways. Sometimes it comes from inside, from things that we do for and to ourselves. And sometimes it is visited upon us from the outside. And we struggle to find God. And that takes all of us. It's not an individual journey. I can't do it alone. We need you. All of you. We need you too. If Roy G. Biv wouldn't be the same without the indigo and the violet, it wouldn't be the same without red or orange or yellow, or and some of you are looking a little green around the gills, so I will throw green in there too. Whatever your color is this morning, we need you to complete the full spectrum. We need you to learn from each other. We need you to talk, to show the, and we need you to show the community what true love is. True love is not loving ones that look, act, and believe the same. But true love happens where barriers are broken down and people get together with God and neighbor, especially neighbors who are really different. This is what we pursue here at First Press. This is why we put the rainbow sign on our sign. We recognize for you traditionalists that it's sometimes harder to belong to this church. We know and recognize that you will have occasion to feel uncomfortable here. But this discomfort is what marginalized folk and their supporters have felt in most churches all their lives. We realize it's tougher than if you were to worship elsewhere. But because we are asking you to carry some of our discomfort, some of our burden for us, or more accurately, with us. We carry our burdens together. This is the call of the gospel, and we are neighbors. We know that it may lead to some awkwardness when you gather in your social groups and someone asks you, well, what ward do you belong to? What? No ward? What church? Oh, the First Presbyterian Church. Oh, that's that church. The one with the sign. Do they really let gays in? Yes, it might be that kind of awkward. To those who ask, you can merely, and I hope proudly, not the bad kind of pride, but the good kind of pride, proudly say that the sign means that this is a place of conversation, of diversity. You don't have to agree with everything the church says and does. In fact, Presbyterians relish in disagreement. You can say that the church is full of sinners, and at the same time say that we are all trying to learn how to love God and neighbor together. If others might not understand that there is value in a place where different people with different perspectives get together and talk about the most important issues and struggles and triumphs of life, then you might feel the same discomfort that Jesus felt when he sat down to party with those, the fundamentalists of his day, branded as sinners. Now, I know that many would prefer the don't ask, don't tell approach, and I think the vast majority of churches in the middle section of this issue tend to take that approach. Don't ask, don't tell. Why do you have to be so out there about it? Do you have to put up a sign to let everybody know? Well, yes. While don't ask, don't tell is more expedient and less challenging for the askers, it's a suffocating closet for the tellers. Real pain results from people who have been excluded from the church in ways outright and in ways subtle. That extra welcome is necessary in our view. We need to actively welcome all because that's what Jesus did when he partied with sinners, when he touched lepers, when he swapped jokes with tax collectors, and when he affirmed the faith of not only Gentiles, but Gentile women. Now, I don't believe that we are the church for everyone. I think God has a community of faith for everyone, and it's not always this one. There are different suits. But this suit, if you're brave enough to put it on, takes you places. We believe because we dare to welcome all and put substance behind that welcome, and we dare to talk and to grow. The rainbow and what it means blends a little cutting-edge, relevant theology and old-world abiding wisdom. We believe it contains the pressure necessary to support life while it maintains enough flexibility to afford freedom of motion. We believe it protects us from profound hazards like ultraviolet fear, our own and others, and micrometeors of hate, and the extremes of heat generated by community living and the cold of isolation. Pursuing a healthy, relevant, Jesus-like faith, we talk, we share, we affirm, we respect, we fail. We take steps forward and we take steps back. That's what happens when rainbows of sinners follow Jesus. Thank God we have God's grace. As we don this wearable spacecraft of the Spirit, we dare to go where no one has gone before, because this is where Jesus is taking us. We will step where we thought no person, no church thought we would step. We will climb down the ladder out of our spiritual lunar modules step by step, and our feet will touch down on fresh ground never before trod on by humankind in Cache Valley, and it will be a small step for a congregation, one giant leap for the human embodiment of the body of Christ. And Jesus will be there at the bottom of the ladder, catching us as we leap, asking us, "What took you so long?" Amen.